All right. Wouldn't be SEC Media Days without Brooks. Austin, what's up, man? The film guy.
Yeah, the film guy. What, third or fourth Georgia content creator this week? Am I number three?
I think you're five. We picked up another one.
Oh, dang. Yeah. No, I thought I was going to walk myself into a compliment right there. I walked myself into another. You were fifth. What's up, boys? Glad to see you here.
The sharpest dressed man at Media Days.
Oh, yeah.
I think you gave me the same half-hearted compliment last year. I think I was wearing the same suit, matter of fact.
You own the place.
We recycle them every once in a while.
Well, I do the same thing. These are the only suits I own. I just wear them for this event.
I mean, it's the only suits I wear. I have three suits. They get worn the three of the 4 days here. They get put up the rest of the year unless one of my friends happens to decide to jump off a cliff and get married. You know? And then I put a suit on.
I was going a different way.
No. I don't have a black suit. I don't have one of those yet.
No.
Yeah, I was asking you guys, what did he talk about?
Well, we talked about what did we talk about? Alcohol, Vince leaving, Tennessee. It was mainly, Tennessee.
Just everybody else sucks and we do too.
Yeah. One friend always trying to bring you back down.
Yeah. Rooting for your downfall so you could join him, that kind of thing.
I bet he's cheating on you.
So what are you? What kind of film do you study after an event like this?
No film studied of this actual stuff going on, but we spent a good, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks studying all the quarterbacks in the conference. That was fun. Just got done with Arch and then Lenoris and then DJ Lagway, bang, 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 3 days after.
Who's your top three then in the SEC?
Ooh, like talent or like who's going to perform the best? What are we talking?
I like to do it at the end of the 2025.
Yeah.
Who do you think will be ranked 1, 2, 3?
So I think Lenoris Sellers is the best quarterback in college football going into the year. I would put him one. I think he's going to end up one at the end of the year as well. We study pretty much every, I'm not going to say every great player in college football, but if you've been great, including Ashton Jeanty, if you've been great over the last 5 or 6 years, I've turned your tape on and I've watched you. I think Lenoris Sellers is the closest in open field as a ball carrier to Ashton Jeanty that I've studied. And on top of that, he's a quarterback and he's 20 pounds heavier. So he's bigger. And when a quarterback gets in the open field as a defensive player, I don't know. Am I allowed to strike him? Am I allowed to hit him? Is he going to slide on me if I commit to hitting this guy like I should because he's 245 pounds? Am I going to get penalized? Am I going to be out of this football game? That kind of thing. So I don't know if there's a more dynamic ball carrier in college football entering 2025. In fact, I don't think there is than Lenoris. He is really, really good. And he's only progressed as a passer in the 12 games that he had last year. Get him in another year. And what really surprised me is, A, he did not throw it to the other team very much last year. He gave it to the other team via fumbles, and we got to clean that up. But he did not throw it to the other team very much last year, and he was a 64% completion percentage guy. Like, that's really impressive for someone who is just labeled an athlete, right? Most SEC schools that recruited that kid wanted him to play running back. That's why he ended up at South Carolina, because they were going to be committed to letting him play Q. And it turns out he's incredible at it.
So who's 2 and 3?
I would probably go Nuss and then Arch after that. Like, I'm a believer in what Arch is going to do. I'm sure he's going to go through growing pains and whatnot, but like, I watched what film is available, and I know it was against Mississippi State, and I know it was against ULM or whoever, but that guy was playing the position. He wasn't just winning on traits last year. He was playing on time. He was reading things correctly, and we know he's physically gifted. Like, we know that. I think I was more impressed with just how on time he was playing and how well he obviously had retained the system and was able to apply that in game. I was really impressed with what Arch did last year.
What do you think Tennessee's getting in Joey Aguilar?
Yeah, a super competitive dude from within the pocket, which I'm not here to crap on Nico, but and you watched him, okay? How many times did Nico get to the second or third read in the progression last year?
Not often.
Not often. You can probably count him on one hand. Feet parallel to the line of scrimmage, running for an alley. That's what I saw constantly. If the number one read in that progression was not open, we very rarely ever got to the backside of any type of system out there at Tennessee. And now, granted, things are spread out way out there, but there was just no reading through the progressions last year. And Joey almost holds on to the ball too long. Like, Joey's almost too competitive as a thrower. Now, I know a lot of people that watched Joey, they weren't watching Joey last year, let's be honest. It's App State football. They're box score scouting Joey. And when you box score scout Joey Aguilar, first thing you're going to notice is this dude throws picks. This dude throws a lot of picks. Well, they also had the, like, nation's worst defense. I don't even think that's, like, categorizing it correctly last year at App State. They were atrocious on the defensive side of the football last year. So as a quarterback, I go into a game knowing if we're going to win today, we're going to score 40. Well, how am I going to go score 40? Well, we're going to go throw this thing. We're going to throw it downfield all the time. That's what he did. He put the ball at risk way too often last year because they knew we're going to have to score 40 today. So I think by nature, the system in and of itself at Tennessee is going to limit some of those turnovers. I mean, I don't think Josh Heupel's had a double-digit turnover guy at the quarterback position since he's been a head coach. I don't think he has one. So the system by nature is going to eliminate some of those. But I really appreciated the moxie that Joey played the quarterback position with at App State. And I think he's going to do the same thing at Tennessee. He doesn't match the physical skill sets that they normally prefer. You know, they want tall, lanky, fast. That's what they want, right? That's what Joe Milton was. That's what Nico is. That's what George McIntyre is going to be. That's what Faison Brandon is. They very clearly have a physical mold. The two that don't really fit that are Joey and Jake, the Merklinger kid, right? They don't really fit that mold. But I would, if I had to pick one of those two or one of the three, it's probably going to be one of those two to start for them this year. Wouldn't you agree, Shane?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we just had Austin on, and that's exactly what he said. So yeah. I wanted to ask you, because you watch so much film, I always value your opinion when we're looking for the next guy. You know, and we see a lot of times throughout the year a kid, maybe like a Cam Coleman, just goes off toward the end of the season. Is there two or three guys that maybe you're looking at? Doesn't have to be Georgia specific or
any
no. team.
I'm off the top of my head, the first name that comes to it is Ryan Wingo, wide receiver out there at Texas. Obviously, people know about him, know who he is. Not only do we have a number change in store this year for him out there at Texas, but this was a guy coming out of high school that was kind of in that discussion. Is it Jeremiah Smith? Is it Ryan Williams? Is it Ryan Wingo, the kid out of St. Louis, Missouri? Well, he goes to Texas, has 600-700 yards last year, and now everybody kind of removes him from that conversation. We don't talk about him with Cam Coleman. We don't talk about him with Jeremiah Smith. We don't talk about him with Ryan Williams. He has all those physical traits that all those other three guys have, and they're in the same class. If you're a NFL team wanting a wide receiver, go ahead and kick on this class. Come see me next year at the NFL draft, because I'm going to have five or six of them that might be guaranteed day one. This is your best weapon, automatic number one option on Sundays.
Who's your biggest sleeper in the SEC? And when I say sleeper, I just mean, you know, not a consensus playoff team, but one that, if things break right, could potentially get there.
Is A&M going to be consistently anything? Are they going to be consistently bad? Are they going to be consistently good? You know, this is what I keep wondering about that program. Like, Elko was supposed to be this sane parent that took over this absolute catastrophe that was the Jimbo Fisher era. But we saw up and downs from Texas A&M last year, too, I felt like. I feel like I didn't know what football team that was going to be week in, week out. That's what I want to see. Can A&M be what I expect them to be every single Saturday and just be a flatline football team? And if so, next year I'm really bullish on what they might be able to do, right? But I want to see consistent growth from A&M this year, most importantly. But I'm really intrigued in what DJ Lagway is going to be. Like that, I said on our channel, I think DJ is the most talented thrower of the football that college football has available. But being talented, being a good thrower, doesn't really mean a hill of beans, especially when we're, I think, 58% completion percentage. We have really bad, catastrophic turnovers, like turnovers where we're throwing it straight into the face mask of a defensive player in the red zone, and the same thing, we're doing the same thing in our own end. Like, we can't turn the ball over in our own end, and we can't sacrifice points when we're there, you know, like those types of things. If he can remove those issues, I think DJ is going to be – I know he's going to be an immense talent, but can we just be an immense product and not just an immense talent? I think there's some growth area there to be had.
When Kirby first started in Georgia, it just seems like they established – RBU, I hate throwing those around, but that's exactly what it was. Some of the best running backs to ever come through this conference. But then they gotten away from it here lately. Watching film, is there a reason that Georgia is struggling in that running department here the last couple seasons?
Yeah, first and foremost, like, for example, in 2019, my first year covering the University of Georgia, their right tackle was Isaiah Wilson, who, had it not been for a SoundCloud rapping career, I think he's probably still playing on Sundays. The right guard was Ben Cleveland. He's a third-round draft pick. He's still playing on Sundays 5 years later. The center's Trey Hill. Still playing on Sundays 5 years later. Saul McKinley, the left guard, is the only guy not still on a roster. The left tackle is Andrew Thomas. He's arguably one of the best tackles in the sport right now on Sunday. So, like, they don't have not only that up front, but, guys, they were six or seven deep. I mean, the my man Cade Mays was a daggum swing player on that 2019 roster. Jamari Sawyer's a swing player on that roster. There, no one's that deep, though, in college football nowadays, right? So it's part to do with, like, you're just not as good and no one else is up front. But also on top of that, like, not to make any excuses for Georgia offensive linemen, but the last 2 years, everybody in the world knew if I put the ball into the belly of the running back, he's getting it. You know, there's no quarterback keeping it. Carson Beck's not running out. So if the running back has the ball or pretends to have the ball, the whole defense is conveying to that point. Okay, we saw as soon as Gunnar Stockton got into the game, run lanes start opening up. There's no coincidence. The longest run of Trevor Etienne's career at the University of Georgia was in the second half against Texas. They broke a 42-yarder down the sideline, iced the football game. If you watch the film, Anthony Hill, who I think is the best linebacker in college football, is standing flat-footed. Well, why is he standing flat-footed? Colin Simmons right in front of him. Why is he standing flat-footed? Because we've been telling you, hey, 14's in the game now. Watch out. He might be able to keep the ball. So it's just that one little hesitation keeps these backside edge defenders from running. But more importantly, man, they just got to block and tackle better. Like, they did not do Georgia's standard things last year to win at the rate that they did. Like, they were the most talented football team in college football in 2021 and 2022. But what they didn't do is jump off sides on fourth and two like Dylan Fairchild did in the Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame. And I'm not picking on Dylan Fairchild because I think it was Jalen Walker or Smile Mondon did the same damn thing on fourth down on the defensive side of the football. It's like those things Georgia, Kirby Smart-led football teams don't do, and they did them consistently last year. That's why they got beat.
Georgia, Texas, you have to pick one to not make the playoff. Which one is more likely to miss the playoff this year?
Texas?
Think so?
Let's go Texas, just because I'll get flamed. I think both of them are probably going to make the college football playoff. I think that's a tough question to ask, honestly. But
why ask?
Yeah, I know you did.
That's clipped.
To be frank, like, in all seriousness, I know Texas has recruited at a top three level for 4 or 5 years now, and I know that means you should be peel and replace, meaning we got great guys going out. We got them coming right back in. We've been recruiting. But, like, are people talking about how many NFL football players they lost on the front lines of scrimmage last year? They lost two NFL tackles. They lost three NFL defensive tackles. They lost an NFL edge rusher. They lost a high-quality SEC starting linebacker. They lost the Jim Thorpe Award winner out at corner. Andrew Makuba's no slappy. You know what I mean? Like, they lost a ton of football players, as does everyone in this conference, but they got a lot of experience to replace as well.
Yeah, an opening at Ohio State, again, that will not eliminate them from anything, but margin of error gets even slimmer.
No, I'm picking them against Ohio State, but we'll see about the rest of the way.
Can Georgia go undefeated this year?
I think his schedule's too tough. Now, that schedule breaks in every way that it possibly could for Georgia, right? I think it's 8 home games and 3 true road games, I think, is what they got going on there. But
it's
not only
road
that.
Road games, Mississippi State, Auburn, Tennessee early.
And it's where the bye weeks are located as well. I mean, you get bye weeks before Florida. I think you get a bye week either before Alabama or before Texas, one or the other. You get another one there too. So it breaks for them in the right ways. But I do think with Ole Miss, Alabama, and Texas, someone's going to get them. I think it's nowadays, guys, I don't think any team's going undefeated. I said on one of these shows recently, if you go 16-0 and win a national title this year, and I was there for 2019 LSU, I was. If you go undefeated nowadays, you are the best college football team to ever exist, unless you do it with Indiana's schedule from last year.
You were talking about quarterbacks earlier. Is there one that you're looking at that maybe you think is getting too much hype? You know, similar to a Nico situation that you're talking about, this is a guy that, you know, had trouble with progression. Is there a guy that you're worried about?
I'm not worried about him because I think he's going to be really, really good. But the type of mistakes that Garrett Nussmeier made last year were really weird to me. Like the "you're just doing too much" type of mistakes. He made mistakes like he had the physical capabilities of a DJ Lagway or Anthony Richardson. Like, he made mistakes rolling left out of pockets. I'm going to throw it back across my body to this guy who may or may not be open, and we're going to throw it right to a defender in the middle of a highly contested football game. Like, those types of mistakes really worry me, especially when, like, you're a lifer. Your dad's an NFL lifer. You've been having you can't do that conversations about this position your entire playing career. So why are we still making these types of mistakes? So, like, that kind of concerns me about him. But this is first year starting last year. I know I personally, I don't know about everybody else, I personally continuously forgot that last year, that this is this guy's first year really doing this, despite the fact that he's 21 years old last year. So that would concern me. Just you make mistakes that physically gifted people are supposed to make. Not that he's not. But he's not one of these 6'5", 220-pound guys that has the biggest arm in the world. No, he's supposed to be winning with wits, playing on time, doing the right things, and he's a gifted thrower, not the other way around.
Do you believe in voodoo curses?
No, not really. But I believe in the universe.
Will your opinion change, though, if Georgia loses to Alabama again, that maybe they got a curse on Kirby or something?
You're talking to a guy who has built his foundation in the Georgia space while also letting every one of my followers know I will be picking Alabama this year. I will be picking Alabama until Georgia beats Alabama in a regular season football game. Just like, no matter what the rosters look like, I will be picking Kirby Smart to beat Josh Heupel until Josh Heupel beats Kirby Smart. That's just the way I think. I do think there is a mental hurdle there, dude. I really do. I know from a fan base standpoint, they feel it. That is, that they might not admit it. But in closed door, behind closed doors, when I ask them and probe them, that's the boogeyman, dude. That's the boogeyman.
That's that voodoo I was talking about.
Yeah, huh? I mean, there is a hurdle there. It's a weird one.
Watching some of these new names there in that wide receiver room. We had who do we have on? We had so many. Rusty was talking about is it Young?
Who's Rusty? I'm just kidding. Shout out Rusty.
You know what I'm saying? But you're watching some of the tape of these guys at different universities, and now I'm looking at them. I could argue that Georgia has one of, if not the best, wide receiver rooms in the conference. What do you think the ceiling is there?
So for me, the best wide receiver room on paper this year going into the season is Auburn's. That's my personal opinion. However, I have reached the stage of covering the University of Georgia where telling me that you're talented in the wide receiver room, cool. Go do it. Like, can we go do it? Can we look like that during September? Like we look like on paper in August? They looked good on paper last year in August. They really did. Ra-Ra Thomas and Colby Young looked really good on paper last year. Come midway through October, neither of those were available for this football team. Now, you'll get Colby Young back this year, and hopefully you'll keep him all year long. Noah Thomas went for 800 yards last year in the SEC. He's a proven commodity. Will he prove that he's a commodity for Georgia? You see what I'm saying? Like, I've gotten to the point where I've covered Georgia, and it's year eight for me, and all 8 years I've written the, will this be the year Georgia has a 1,000-yard receiver? Will it be? I don't know. You know, like, I'm at the point now where you go do that thing. Like, I watched the spring game. I was there. I know it wasn't televised. I saw Colby Young getting loose on SEC defensive backs, one of the best SEC defensive back groups that's available. I saw it. Let me see it in a Saturday in October. That's kind of where I've gotten. And honestly, whether or not they admit it, I think Georgia fans have gotten that point too, and maybe even Kirby. Kirby's like, hey, but we've had good people on paper for a while. Let's go perform.
Well, Brooks, we really appreciate your time. All our coverage this week brought to you by MyBookie. So we are asking
MyBookie.ag still?
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah.
Promo code SEC. But your MyBookie hottest take for the upcoming season could be Georgia-related, could be SEC, whatever you want to go. What's your boldest take heading into the season?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be the only one on this corner, but I think by the end of the year, people will be looking at Steve Sarkisian like, you really played that seventh-round quarterback over this guy? You know, like, windows are small in college football. We don't got a lot of opportunities to have the nation's best defense with the Jim Thorpe Award winner, okay? We don't have a lot of opportunities at that. We don't have a lot of opportunities being within a score of the Ohio State team that's going to go on to win a national title, you know? We don't have a lot of opportunities where we're playing for an SEC title and their starting quarterback goes out with an elbow injury and we can't move the ball. Like, there were so many times last year, it might not have been all year round, but there were so many times on tape where I watched Texas and I watched a quarterback have what we call turndowns, where that is the first read in the progression. Coach has called this play for you to throw that ball, and we turn it down for some I don't think I can make that throw. I didn't feel comfortable. You ain't going to see turndowns on Arch Manning's tape. In fact, you're going to see Sarkisian holding that guy back like, whoa, whoa, we can't do that. Protect the football a little bit. I'd rather have the latter than the first one. You know, I've been telling people, you ever seen Days of Thunder? You know that scene where he's talking about Cole Trickle driving it into the corner and knowing that it's going to stick? Arch Manning going to drive it into every corner. I'm telling you right now. It's going to stick a lot of the times because of not only who we have around us, but who we got calling plays. You know what I mean? So I expect
the special tires.
Yeah, man. I expect by the end of the year, people to be like no different. By the way, they did this crap to Kirby Smart. I'm saying it's crap. I know it's crap. I know why he played Quinn. It's a loyalty thing. I got this guy in. He's my veteran. He's the leader of my team. I know why he did it. But when you have the guy behind him that's set, come in and play like he's about to, you're going to have a lot of people looking at you like, wait a minute, did we sacrifice a national title? Because they did it to Kirby until he won his first one. So they're going to do it to you.
All right, Brooks, can you tell our audience how to follow you and how to find your work?
Yeah, if you haven't already, it's at Brooks Austin BA on all social media, and we are on YouTube like these fine fellas at the Film Guy Network. Appreciate you for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming, man.
Anything really. For Cousin Paul? You want me to tell him anything?
Yeah.
Anything?
You'll tell him anything.
Yeah, can we come on too? Ask him that.
I'll slide. We'll see y'all.